These Are the Times, A Life of Thomas Paine, by Trevor Griffiths. Part 2, Age of Reason.
January the 10th, 1790. My dear Jefferson, as it happens, I'd already planned to come to France this winter. News of the recent partial revolution there has set my heart racing, and the fact that you are there already fills me with hope once again for the future.
Mr. Paine! Welcome to France, sir.
Thank you.
William Short. This way, sir. The minister's most glad you agreed to come at such notice.
How far is the inn? I need to put my head near a pillow.
We sleep in the coach, sir. Matters have become more pressing. We leave for Paris at once. But you'll find a pillow there, sir. And a blanket.
What about yourself, Mr. Short?
I shan't be sleeping, sir. Allez-y, citoyen.
How old are you, boy?
23, sir. Well, 22.
Good ages. Since I put public life to one side for some time now, and haven't scribbled in ages, perhaps another revolution will bring me once again to my senses. Mr. Short. Mr. Short.
Yes, sir.
Do we have drink on board?
We do indeed, sir.
Here.
This way, Mr. Paine. Find these cases.
Mr. Paine, I'm all in your cane, sir. Come through. Does the heart good, Mr. Paine?
Aye, likewise, Mr. Jefferson. What's this, someone going somewhere?
Well, let's see. I'm called home against my will and against my advice. Sail Friday. For the next half year, perhaps longer, who knows? The U.S. ministry in France is to be represented by Willie Short, the green young man who brought you in, a good and sweet and capable boy, no doubt, but... My friend, matters here are not as calm nor as ordered as they might be. The violence and rioting of last summer have abated, but what caused them hasn't gone away. There is still no constitution written and enacted. The precarious compact between the king and the assembly of the nation begins to wobble. A small step out of place, and France could be plunged back into last year's carnage.
I saw the piked heads on the wall coming in.
Tom... It would help me and our country much if you would agree to spend time in this place while I'm away.
Doing what?
Anything and everything. Meeting the key people, the groups and factions that seethe beneath the surface. Maybe a book, who knows?
Put public life behind me years back. Besides, I've no French.
Look, it's enough you seem to be here. Letting France and her enemies know by your presence America's a friend... Sworn to help a revolution prosper through the difficult days ahead. You can use this place for an office. My ministerial staff have instructions to furnish you with whatever you need. What do you say?
I'll give it some thought.
There's a farewell dinner in my honor this evening. It'd be grand to announce Tom Paine be laying his head here for a time while I'm gone.
I need sleep.
Take my coach. Mr. Short will bring you there. Present yourself at Lafayette's place en route, if you will. He's bursting to see you.
Oh, he's the big cheese here now, isn't he?
None bigger. Heads the National Guard, holds the balance between king, assembly, and people, and keen to have you on board. Don't let him get his hands on General Washington's coat there. He's a great collector of memorabilia. You heard about Mr. Franklin?
I did.
He'll be missed. It's important this time.
Aye.
It is good to have you back in the fray, sir. I prayed you will come, Mr. Paine.
Pleasure to see you, sir.
You will forgive me if I do not stay long with you just now. I am to an audience with the king. Your ambassador Jefferson will be there. Affairs of state. You will take supper here. It's arranged. Later we talk.
Hi. Thank you.
You'll be my guest, of course. You like this room?
I guess.
Take it. Good for writing, I think. Venez.
Monsieur le Marquis.
Monsieur Payne dormira dans la bibliothèque.
Oui, monsieur.
What is it you look at?
Your uniform?
Ah. General Washington's. Exactly replica, sir. I had it made just so. And you still have his greatcoat, I see. I envy you it. Now, the glove is on the other hand, Mr. Payne. It is we who set our feet upon the road to freedom. But unlike you, our king and the people have agreed to rule together. It is my honor and my duty to see all's fair between them. So we will all keep our heads. It is good you are with us, sir. France has need of your wisdom. A bientôt.
Oh, Marquis, could you carry a message to Mr. Jefferson?
But of course.
Just tell him yes, if you will.
Yes.
Yes.
My dear Mr. Payne, nothing could illustrate our friendship better than your decision to remain in France and cover my absence while I deal with matters at home. As to what those matters are, I may not say. Save to indicate, retaining America's support for France during her travails remains paramount for me, as I know it does for you. There are factions growing at home that seek trade and security agreements with the old British enemy at the expense of our erstwhile ally. And that is the reason I travel there now.
I need to know what's going on here. Where's the interpreter you promised? Is it done?
It is, Mr. Payne, but I need to explain.
I'll see him now, then. Gather up the English papers for these last weeks, will you? I need the parliamentary report.
Mr. Payne, there may be a problem.
Later, Willie. Ah.
I understand you require assistance with our language.
That's right. I'm keen to know this place.
Good. It would be an honor to help you, Payne.
Are you French, miss?
Carney. I am, but my father's Irish, from Dublin. Carney. Is it formal lessons you ask? It's not clear.
No. I need someone to move around with me. Explain what's going on. You know, the assembly, the courts, meetings, the streets.
I understand. You plan a work on our revolution.
It's possible.
Good. I think we fall asleep. You'll wake us up.
You've read my books?
Some. I smuggled Common Sense into convent school under my skirts when I was 10.
You're tickling me? Wow. That takes my breath.
Not everyone sleeps, Payne. Last year we rose against the king with three words on our lips and in our hearts. Freedom, equality, brotherhood. We're still waiting. Out there the poor never sleep.
I believe you. And I'd know more.
Then you must visit the political clubs, the societies, the people's section meetings, the groups. If you look for the heart, you don't start with the arse.
So, not the assembly, huh?
Exactly.
What about the Jacobins Club? Is that...
Important, yes, but middle class. Large fee keeps them exclusive. I couldn't help in any event. No women.
So, where would you?
The Cordelier Club. Students, shopkeepers, artisans, workers, trouser people. The folk who rose up last summer. Penny a week admission. Still no women, but it's in our district. I'm known there. There is an arrangement. You'll see if you go.
Oh, I'll go.
Let me know when. I'll meet you. Where do you stay?
I lodge with Lafayette, the Tuileries.
Don't get too close, Payne. Lafayette will not last.
Oh, I shall need your address.
This is our paper. We stay in the print shop above.
The Boucht?
Boucht Affair. Mouth of Iron. We print weekly.
Who's we?
The group who make the paper.
Miss Carney, you should speak...
Carney! No, miss. No, mister. I call you Payne. It's better.
Okay. Speak with Mr. Short about your fee.
Are you paid, Payne?
No.
Then we both come free. What's okay?
It's American for yes.
Ah.
Is tomorrow night possible?
Okay. Sorry, I'm late. That's Klutz.
Klutz?
Anarchist. Burns a flag every night. Demands an end to all nations, a brotherhood of mankind. He's a Prussian baron, I believe.
You're dressed as a man. You've pinned up your hair. Is this the arrangement you spoke of?
Oui. Is it not ridiculous? Ah bon, Danton. He takes the chair for the session. He's the founder of the club, son of a peasant, lawyer, intellectual, important, but I think brilliant, very daring. Oh, I'll whisper in your ear.
Voilà notre tâche et notre devoir solennel. Ce ne sera pas facile, non?
It will not be easy. The lords and bishops, the rich and powerful, are still with us, my friends, and will do all they can to return France to their own pockets, where they believe it rightfully belongs.
Ils utilisent leurs scribes corrompus et leurs écrivains.
For the moment, they are content to open up another front, a war of words and ideas.
Et le parfait exemple est celui d'Edmond Burke.
Such a one is the erstwhile champion of popular liberties, Edmund Burke.
Leur déclaration des droits de l'homme n'est que l'officialisation de l'anarchie.
Their declaration of rights is no more than an institute and digest of anarchy.
Mes amis, le moment est arrivé. Imposons notre idéologie. Présentons nos accomplissements et nos espoirs. Utilisons ces mots qui bouleversent le cœur et inspirent l'âme de tous les peuples et du monde. Merci, mes amis.
Mr. Danton! Mr. Danton! Thomas Paine! I wonder if I might have your copy of the Times, sir.
Thomas Paine, did you say? Old common sense? My God, why was I not told? My Times is yours, sir. As is my heart.
Times will do fine for the present, mister.
On behalf of a club called Allier, on behalf of all France, Georges Jacques Danton welcomes you, Mr. Paine. Tomorrow, sir, I am yours. Bring Mr. Paine to my house whenever he wishes, and we'll talk. And take good care of this man. C'est un trésor. Ah! Mes beautés. Au Jacobin, citoyen. Allons-y.
How long will you stay with us, Paine?
Can't say. I've matters to attend in England.
You have family there?
No. Folks died last year.
This man who speaks against us, Burke, you know him?
Yeah. A lifelong champion of liberty in the British Parliament, and until this moment, a man I was happy to call friend.
So, perhaps you can put him right?
Yeah, maybe.
Et voilà, la bouche de fer. Here. I made a list. People, places. You must let me know what you want of me.
I will, thank you. Oh, your ribbon. It fell when you were unpinning your hair.
Merci, monsieur. Don't desert us, Paine.
Don't what? Don't desert us, did you say? What do you take me for, woman? One of your summer soldiers.
I'll be damned. Paine, is it?
Morris. That's right. This is my room. I stay here.
The Marquis had me brought here. Some ceremony, he said. What brings you to these parts?
Mr. Paine, you are returned, excellent. Mr. Morris has graced us with this unexpected visit. Perfect for the smooth ceremony I am at last possible to perform. Excuse me, gentlemen. One moment.
I'm building a bridge. I'm here looking for buyers.
Really? In revolutionary France? The only thing they're buying here just now is hot air and stuff and nonsense. Let's hope our friend Lafayette there can keep them down. Oh, there'll be blood in the gutters here until the last trump. They're sharing power with their king, for God's sake. Isn't that enough? The revolution
is over.
The French need to get back to making money. Then maybe somebody will buy your bridge. I see you have the times. You're keeping abreast, Mr. Payne. Mr. Burke's outburst in the English Parliament has caused quite a rumpus, I can tell you.
I bet. Friend of yours, am I right?
Did he tell you he's been preparing a book on the subject?
Thank God, say I. That should put pay to the nonsense mongers once and for all.
Nobody better in the English language or higher in public esteem.
Gentlemen, it has long been my wish to present my dear friend President Washington with a token of this nation's esteem, and through an envoy who has earned the undying gratitude of America for the part he had in the creation of our freedoms. Both token and envoy are at last to hand. The key to the Bastille prison. The symbol of our liberty.
My dear Marquis, I am most...
Carry it safely, Mr. Payne, for it is charged with history.
I will.
The revolution.
The revolution.
The revolution.
Dear Mr. Short, forgive the abruptness of my departure. I have left a package for Mr. Jefferson on the desk, which you will kindly forward to him in America by the next pouch. Please be good enough to assure my young instructress that my business in England is largely France's, lest she take my absence for desertion.
I cannot see you, sir. I am at my desk.
I am conscious of intrusion, Mr. Burke, and will be brief.
If it is France you would discuss, I have told you all I wish to upon the subject.
You've told me nothing, sir. My letters lie unanswered.
Precisely, sir. On events in that miserable place, I am not persuadable.
Not even by the truth?
I believe I know the truth, Mr. Payne. At the moment, I am busy wrestling it down onto paper.
Mr. Burke, you did much for the rights of colonial Americans. Hmm? You've spent a lifetime championing the cause of slaves and homosexuals and religious dissenters. Yet now, when millions pay you heed by tearing up the fraudulent contract with history that holds them down and by demanding their natural human rights, you turn on them like any mad monarch and vilify them. Why? In reason's name, sir, why?
Mr. Payne, you may find your answer on the shelves at 7 shillings and 6 pence when my book is published. I have nothing more to say to you.
You'll not come to France with me and see for yourself?
I will not, sir.
Then I'll be plain. Publish your book, and I will answer it.
You're a living danger to all that's sacred in human affairs, Mr. Payne. You agitate your way across the world, sowing dissension, breeding conflict, gnawing away at the settled, natural order of things. And here you are back in your own land and about to put it to the torch. But ye will not succeed, sir. Use what art ye may, ye'll not root out of this British people's mind the principles of natural subordination. They will continue to respect that property of which they cannot partake. They will continue to labor to obtain what by labor can be obtained. And when they find, as they commonly do, the success disproportionate to the endeavor, they will continue to be taught to seek their consolation in the final proportions of eternal justice.
While you, sir, the champion of liberty, will continue to call yourself a Whig and receive a secret pension of $10,000 a year from the Tories to trash the future.
Leave my house, sir. I had imagined you to be a gentleman.
No, sir. I'm an American. Proud of it. Not one glance of compassion, not one commiserating reflection has Mr. Burke bestowed on those who linger out the most wretched of lives. A life without hope. It's painful to behold a man employing his talents to corrupt himself. As it is not difficult to perceive that hereditary governments are verging to their decline, and that revolutions on the broad basis of national sovereignty and government by representation are making their way in Europe. It would be an act of wisdom to anticipate their approach and produce revolutions by reason and accommodation, rather than commit them to the issue of convulsions. For this is an age of revolutions, in which everything may be looked for.
I'm away, Cleo. The Dover coach leaves on the hour. You got the book proofs?
Johnson's pulled out.
He's what?
Lawyer's opinion. He could go to prison, lose his business. Government's had spies on the shop since he took the work.
Damn them, damn them.
The Mad King have bought 10,000 of the Burke book and sent it to every notable in the land. I can't find a publisher not in terror of his life.
Hold your horses, Tom. I've found a man. He's less to lose and eager to proceed.
What's his name?
Doesn't want it known until he's issued. But he's a good man, you have my word. There's a couple of copies here you might like to take with you. Johnson had them sewn up for you from Galley. His way of saying sorry for the setback.
Setback? Best news I've had all year. You think we're going to get where we're headed by grace and favour? I tell you, when each one of us has an agent on his tail, like that pair outside the window there, when they start passing emergency laws to put us all away, packing special juries and sending paid mobs to howl outside our homes, we'll know we're getting somewhere.
Any idea when you'll be back?
No.
What about your bridge?
Well, there's time for bridges. I dedicate this book to George Washington, that the rights of man may become as universal as your benevolence can wish, and that you may enjoy the happiness of seeing the new world regenerate the old, is the prayer of Thomas Paine, Paris, 1791.
Mr. Payne, welcome back, sir.
Good to see you, Willie. Sorry it took so long.
I've been following your progress in the English presses. You've been busy, all right? I guess Mr. Burke's put in his place. You heard from Mr. Jefferson?
Yep.
No word on who'll replace him, but it's bad.
Tell me what's happening out there, Willie. Feels like things are coming off the hooks.
It ain't good, Mr. Payne. The Assembly's come up with a new constitution. I brought you the ministry copy.
Yes.
I'll need it back. There's a lot of pressure on him from below. King Louis won't sign it, says it's unholy and ungodly, and the clubs and sections are putting people on the streets under the slogan, sign or resign. They're out there now. That's what they're shouting. Lafayette's turning his troops on the demonstrators and begins to look as if he takes the king's side. There's more, but you have the bones.
And who's stirring the people, Willie?
The Jacobins are doing plenty. Marat in his paper, The Friend of the People. Danton down at the Cordelier. There's no lack of leaders.
See, Danton gets this, will you?
Oh, your new book. Oh, it looks well.
Ask if he'll see me. Yeah. And have this one carried round to Miss Carney, if you will. I'd like her to do the French translation. Guess I'm going to need her help again getting around. Got to find a way to be useful.
Mind if I read it, sir? I could do it tonight.
Help yourself. They must have offered Jefferson something big to get him out of France.
Secretary of State.
Oh, well. If it helps him get the presidency next time, it won't all be bad.
There's a room booked at White's on the ministry's account, if you'd rather. Not sure Lafayette's place is the place to be right now.
Thanks, Willie. You may be right.
Et voilà, citoyen. La maison de Danton est là.
Merci.
Dispersez-vous.
Off you go, Willie. Maybe you'll call at the office and collect today's mails. Then meet me at the Bouche de Fer print shop. Do you know it?
I do, sir.
1 hour. Don't be late.
Monsieur Payne! Good to see you. Come up and eat.
Well, why not?
Just a drop.
This, too, is the revolution. Payne and Danton sitting, supping, talking first principles. A pair of almost strangers getting on like almost friends. You're a good man, mister. You'll forgive me, I speak of the Jacobins this evening. I'll need time to prepare.
Oh, will I leave you?
No. Don't worry, I'll keep my britches on. In any case, we're not finished. On Anne's, agreement between us ain't hard to find, hmm? A sovereign people, a republic bedded in the rule of law, under a freely arrived at constitution, some form of representative government, not a hair between us. It's all there in your fine new book, and in my heart. On means, beard, hair, makeup. I'll tell you plain, friend, while I share your repugnance for civil violence in excess, I know one simple fact you appear to be unconscious of. Violence in excess have stalked this land for centuries. Lash, axe, and dungeons have always been a king's answer to the people's cry for justice. And as we have learned, so shall we do. Now, ink. A touch beneath the eyes, and voila. La bête sauvage. The Jacobins love charisma. How do I look? Wild enough?
I can't honestly see that it matters.
And that's because there's another thing you don't understand. We all actors. Mirabeau, Lafayette, the King, Marat, me. We find or invent our roles day by day on the stage we call the Revolution. And to play well, my friend, means you must call on not just the head, as you suppose you must call on the heart. And on the cock, where necessary. Everything you know, everything you feel, everything you are. I fear for you here, Mr. Payne, lest your innocence lead you into the mire.
Well, don't worry about me, my friend. I'll make my way. Some things I do know. Iron rusts, lies rot the soul, violence and excess are a whirlpool that carry all to hell. That's all I say. My heart is with you.
Take good care, huh? Write more books. That's where your greatness lies.
Welcome to the Bouche de Fer, Mr. Payne. Ah, Nicolas de Bonneville. It's an honor to have you with us. This is the commune. This is where we all live as one family. As to your book, yes, I'm pretty sure she received it. I remember the package. Ah, there it is on her desk. I suspect she's taken the book. I can't say if she's translating it. She is her own law.
She's not here?
Holland. She sets up a new journal.
Oh. When is she expected?
When she's ready, I suppose. If there's something I can do...
No. You seem to have plenty enough on your plate.
Pardon me. We say the king must go. How can a king lead a revolution?
Good question.
Maybe you will ask it in our assembly. The philosopher of the revolution has much weight there. This one has weight too, huh? Benjamin. Like his mother, no? Maybe not. I tell Kane you came. She'll be happy. She speaks of you much, Mr. Payne.
Oh, thank you. I'm obliged.
I'm sorry if I brought bad news, sir.
No. Seems my book's doing its work back in England. Revolution Society invites me to speak at some grand Bastille Day celebration in London. England in turmoil. Takes my breath.
And will you go?
I think I must.
Tuileries, voilà!
Notes, Rights of Man, Part 2nd. The dangers to which the success of revolutions is most exposed is that of attempting them before the principles on which they proceed and the advantages to result from them are sufficiently seen. Dear Mr. Jefferson, I spent a couple of intriguing hours with Monsieur Danton recently and wonder if you have an opinion to share with me on the man. I must say, he left me in some gloom about where we are headed here, though I liked him much. Dear Carney, I inquired at your lodgings today to ask if you'd received my book and learnt you were away. I plan to lodge at White's Hotel for the remainder of my stay. Should you return before the early days of July, and I may have to spend a brief time in London. Perhaps you could...
The birds have flew the cap, Payne. I am undone, sir. All is lost. The shame. The shame.
I'm not sure I have your meaning, sir.
The king and queen are gone, sir. Fled into the night I know not where. He will not sign the constitution. I will be blamed. I am his keeper, charged by the assembly to keep him secured. They'll say I blotted his escape. There'll be a rising. There'll be a revolution.
You have a revolution, General. And it don't need a king. Let him go, sir. But whatever you do, don't let the bugger back.
I am undone. I am lost. I fall from grace.
Oh, come. Come, friend, come. We'll survive.
Sorry I'm late, sir. Bloody crowds. Every route to the hotel is blocked.
Damn fools have gone and caught the runaway king. Am I right?
Yes, sir.
It'll cost them.
They bring him back to troop the carriage through the city.
It's bad news. Will I make the boat?
You're still intent on leaving, are you, sir?
It's a couple of weeks. You get the visa?
I did.
Anything else?
No, that's the hotel bill. Ministry pays that. Oh, yes. A letter from Mr. Jefferson, sir.
Good. Any word who comes in his stead?
Only rumor, sir. All bad. And, I had it here somewhere.
Calais coach leaves at 4, is it?
4 it is, sir. Oh, I've got it. The French translation of your book, sir. Miss Carney dropped it by at the office yesterday evening, just back from Amsterdam,
I believe. Let me see it.
Your book made me happy. To read, to work on, to have your trust. In true friendship, Carney.
Looks as if the royal carriage has entered the street, sir.
Watch the bags, Willie. I'll be back in a tick.
Mr. Payne?
It's just going to stretch my leg.
No, Mr. Payne, sir, stay indoors. It's but an hour to the coach. You could be in danger out there.
I'll be okay.
No, at least wear your goddamn hat, sir. You'll be taken for a king's man without your cockade. Mr. Payne!
Excusez-moi, citoyen. Pardonnez-moi.
Pardon. Merci.
Où est votre cocarde?
Oui, c'est où? C'est où, exactement? C'est perdu? Oui,
they want to know why you do not wear a cockade.
Oh, God.
You can walk, Monsieur Payne. Come. We are near to. Come.
I think you live, Payne. Here. You wear this to home. No hat, no head today.
Carney? Hein? Tu es là?
You rest a minute, huh?
Right.
Oh. Mon petit Jean. Payne. Mon Dieu, are you all right?
Connie.
Wait. Let me lay this one down. Voilà, Benjamin.
Shh. The crowd took me for a king lover. I live.
Let me look.
No. I have to go. I have a coach.
Sit. Who tended you?
De Bonvi. He also saved my life.
This gash in your side needs potash.
No, it's not. I was on my way to say thank you for the book.
A pleasure. Do you like my boy? Benjamin. He's named after Franklin. Oh,
he's a beauty. Like his mother, I'm told.
No. He's like de Bonville. Look at the nose. Nothing like me.
What? De Bonville's your husband?
No. De Bonville's the father. Sometimes, when we desire it, we'll lie together. This time, I miscounted my days. Et voilà. This perfect creature. We make new worlds, Payne. Invent the future. We cannot do it shackled to the past. Did you not write it yourself? We are upon experiments, yes?
Well, as I remember it, we were making up a new constitution for Pennsylvania at the time.
Will I be honest with you, Payne?
I guess you will, Connie.
There was a time, last year, I experienced a strong desire to lie with you. Perhaps you knew it, if you're honest.
Hoped, maybe. Feared. Considered the impossibilities. But knew it. Connie, I know less and less. Will I write you?
Where do you go?
I speak in London. Bastille Day celebrations.
Our papers say you're a marked man there. Will you come back?
I will.
Are you sure?
I'm sure.
Then you may write me.
Were 20 shillings given immediately on the birth of a child to every woman who should make the demand, a great deal of instant distress would be relieved. And 20 shillings to every new married couple, as of right, to put them on the way.
Good.
And to every poor family, £4 a year for every child under 14 years of age. And for each of those children, 10 shillings more for the expense of school. A pension as of right to all who reach the age of 50.
Right.
And all found from the taxes we pay. I've done the costing. The millions wasted on government are more than enough to reform most evils and to benefit the condition of every person in the nation. And now, friends, on this anniversary of the storming of the Bastille in Paris and the launching of the first European Revolution, a word to the government spies who might be have hidden among you.
Cannon! Yeah.
Tell your sorry masters. All this, and a great deal more, will appear in my new book, which I propose to publish this year in a sixpenny edition, so that millions may read it. You may stop some from speaking their mind. You'll not stop Tom Paine!
Well said, Tom Paine! Well said!
Come, let's get you away, Payne.
It's you they're after. Damn it, man, I haven't finished.
You're finished. Trust me.
Carney, I find myself holed away for safety's sake in a monk's cell in the back country. Friends see I'm fed and watered by the week and carry what pages I've written to the printer. The authorities know I have another piece coming. Agents scour the land for sight of it. If I'm taken before the book's done, there won't be a publisher in Britain prepared to print. I wish I had someone to speak with, Connie. Beyond my horse, I mean. Hey, you dumb mutt, yeah? I'm talking to you. Look at me! Oi!
Why is it that scarcely any are executed but the poor? When, in countries that are called civilized, we see age going to the workhouse and youth to the gallows, something must be wrong in the system of government. But there is a smell of good things coming. The people begin to stir. Reason and revolution walk hand in hand. And the book is almost done.
It is now towards the end of winter, and I observe a single bud has begun to swell. Would I not reason very unnaturally to suppose this the only bud in England so enlarged? I grant the vegetable sleep will continue on some trees longer than on others, but all will be in leaf in the summer. The book is out. The hunt is on.
Payne. Thomas Payne.
Who are you?
William Blake.
What are you up to?
Penning a poem.
Up a tree?
Didn't want to miss you.
What's your business?
I'm saving a life. If you're Thomas Paine, I'm saving yours.
I'm charged with criminal libel. The land teems with lawmen out to serve the writ of summons. Perhaps I'm done with England now. Perhaps the book will do. They say one man in ten has read it, or heard it read. Thought, by some means or other, is got abroad in the world, and cannot be restrained. The good folk of Calais seek to make amends by electing me in absentia deputy to the new convention. And though there is much that is wrong with the revolution hereabouts, at least no one here would have me dead. But I am returned to what seems a charnel house, or hell itself. Hundreds on hundreds of shackled prisoners hacked to death and laid on the grass outside the prison like carrion. What has this to do with revolution, Carney? Can you tell me? Can anyone?
Greetings, Spain. Heard you were back. As you see, the revolution has not been idle in your absence.
Why? Why all this slaughter? What does it mean?
Waste not good tears, Mr. Payne. Most of them were enemies. When you know the circumstance...
Circumstance? What circumstance on earth can justify the brutal slaughter of thousands of chained prisoners by crazed citizens' death squads while the revolution stands by and does nothing? Where was the Minister of Justice? Wasn't it your job
to... The Prussian army stood 70 miles from Paris. The Minister of Justice was busy raising a people's militia to up and throw them out. 10,000 patriots answered the call, eager to go, yes. But not while the prisons of Paris sat, swelled to bursting with the enemies of their revolution, who might break out in their absence and take revenge on the undefended families our patriot volunteers would leave behind. They did what they did. I turned my back. I was busy. Saving the revolution. Payne. There's no maps cover the place we've got to. Overland ahead. Stay close, friend. Be useful here. Take your hand in writing the new constitution. Lead the committee. I'll back you. But don't get embroiled elsewhere. Especially should we decide to proceed with it in the trial of a king. This is fever. And must run its course.
Trial of the king, did you say?
Amor!
Oui. Emprisonnement. Ah! Emprisonnement!
Payne? Monsieur Payne?
Here?
I am Boncal, secretary to the convention, and a good friend of Carney and de Bonville. You would vote in French and address the hall in English, yes?
Mm-hmm.
Let me see your ballot. You're quite sure about this, sir?
I am.
Very well. Procedure is simple. Follow the deputy's line to the podium within the hall, where you will declare your vote. It will help if you sit with me when you get there. I'll translate when I can. But when you speak, speak slow, eh? And clear. In there, it is circus. Afterwards, there will be time for motions from the floor. Not advised, in my view. All right?
All right.
Oh, yes. Almost all the votes are already cast, and it's very tight, so...
I'm grateful.
Exil! Exil!
You should not have come back, Payne.
No choice, Connie.
Things will not be the same now. Do not involve yourself in this.
I can't see a way out. In any case, country needs a constitution. I'm helping write it.
You're a stubborn man. I'd hoped you would write me.
I wrote you. Plenty. Just didn't send them.
I'm where I was. Bouche de fer. If you need help.
Avancez, messieurs les députés. Citoyen Robespierre!
Allez, monsieur Payne.
Robespierre! Au nom des millions de personnes anonymes qui ont souffert de la cruauté des rois,
Robespierre, on behalf of the nameless millions who have suffered the cruelty of kings, votes death to this one.
Citoyen Marat!
Marat, ami du peuple, laissons la guillotine. Chantez le mot de ce roi meurtrier.
Marat, friend of the people, let the guillotine sing for this murderous king. Death.
Amour.
Death. Death.
Amour. 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 De l'ordre. J'exige de l'ordre. Thomas Paine. Thomas Paine. I vote for imprisonment until the war with Austria and Prussia ends. Exile thereafter.
Je vote pour l'imprisonnement jusqu'à la fin de la guerre contre l'Autriche et la France. Exile par la suite.
Pain, take this matter no further. You only harm yourself. We, who lead the opposition, will soon leave the country and, as you see, we ask death. I speak as a true friend.
Le décompte des votes est le suivant. Pour l'emprisonnement et l'exil, 288 voix.
For imprisonment and exile, 288 votes.
Pour la mort avec sourcils, 72 voix.
Death with pardon, 72 votes.
Total contre la mort, 360 voix.
Total against death, 360.
Le total de voix. Pour la peine de mort, sans condition, 361.
Death without qualification, 361.
Amour!
Before we proceed to pronounce verdict, it is my formal duty to ask if there remain motions to be put from the floor.
Il n'y en a pas.
I would speak.
Monsieur Penn a-t-il une motion à formuler?
The President asks if you have a motion, citoyen.
I do.
La présidence reconnaît le citoyen Penn, député du Pas-de-Calais.
The decision reached today in favor of death fills me with genuine sorrow, friends.
La décision obtenue aujourd'hui en faveur de la...
When I go home to America, perhaps to write a history of these days, I would find more joy in recounting a multitude of mistakes prompted by compassion than in recording one act, however just, grounded in severity.
Quaker! Quaker!
No, mister! I am not a Quaker. Never have been. You shame yourself and insult this convention with your wind and whistle.
Amour!
Vos promotions, citoyen!
Amour!
Citizens.
Citoyen.
For the first time in history, the system of monarchy has been abolished. But I ask you, in whose interest do we now seek to exterminate the pathetic mutt that remains? That ill-reared wreck of a man, the last Louis. I tell you plain, friends, the enemies of France, the enemies of liberty and humanity, the enemies of the new spirit of revolution, pray fervently for this king's death. How can it be in our interest to give them the pretext they seek to wage a holy war on all we mean to create here? I move suspension.
Je propose le sursis.
I move for life.
Je propose la vie.
Citoyen Robespierre!
Prononce de la sentence! Laissons l'ennemi en dedans et en dehors le comprendre! Passe ton chemin, Payne! Nous serons les maîtres, c'est nous!
We will be masters in our own house.
Amour! Amour! Amour!
Mr. Payne? The new minister's here, Gouverneur Morris.
What does he want?
He wants a word.
And these folk up by the scaffold, Willie, what are they doing?
They're selling the king's hair, sir. By auction.
Mr. Morris?
My office advises all American citizens to leave without delay. The civilized nations look set to act to put this rabble back in its rightful place, and there are bloody times ahead. I cannot be held responsible for the safety of those who willfully ignore the warning. I thought you should know.
I'm obliged.
Understand you sought for criminal libel and declared an outlaw back in England.
Uh-huh.
From now on, if you've business with my ministry, you see the master, not his dog. Short.
One thing, mister. Does your appointment mean our country washes its hands of France now?
Han!
My dear Jefferson, I am moved into the country by Faubourg Saint-Denis, principally to escape the fever of this sad city. We are now in an extraordinary crisis, and it is not without some considerable faults here. The new constitution I came here to help draft lies unacknowledged, gathering dust. Not long ago, I felt there was a good chance of extending liberty through the greatest part of Europe. But I now relinquish that hope and begin to contemplate returning home.
Benjamin! Reviens-toi!
Carney!
It's beautiful here!
Yeah. Put a few shillings away from the last book. Come up.
What about the boy?
Oh, leave him to Henri. That's what landlords are for. What's that?
It's your open letter to the convention. The group discussed it. We don't feel able to print it. I'm sorry.
I see. Your friends don't agree with me, is that it?
Danton sent word we'd been denounced by some of the militant sections. Hostile to the revolution, they dub us. Journals that oppose the coming terror and the coming men behind it tend to find their shops attacked and their presses smashed to pieces. We lie low for a time.
Calme-toi, chérie!
Oh, he's a sweet boy. Did you eat? I have some eggs. Will I make you some eggs? We'll take a meal together. I'd like that. I'll just wash first.
What'll you do then?
Well, if you'd agree to put it into French for me, I guess I could have a stab at just reading it out myself at the convention hall.
Oh, Payne. You think Marat, Robespierre, Danton are going to stand for that? They don't want your constitution. Not until they run things anyway, when they can rewrite it for themselves. Can you not see the danger?
Yeah, I see the danger.
You have the body of a boy still. The innocence, too. Come, give me the towel. What?
Oh, it's nothing.
Oh, it's the wound in your side you got in Paris. Did I not say it needed potash? I'll kiss it better.
I'm old, Carney.
You're the youngest man I ever knew.
Un moment, petit. J'arrive.
What is it, you know?
Qu'est-ce qui arrive, citoyen?
La section des travailleurs s'est à nouveau soulevée.
What did he say?
The workers' section will rise again. Looks like the coming men are come.
Coachman!
Payne, don't! What can you do?
Take the boy home.
Chez nous, citoyen.
Bon car.
The insurgents sealed the doors to the chamber. They let no one in and no one out until their demands are voted through.
What is it they ask?
Everything at once. Mainly, they want Prime Minister Brissot and his whole cabinet arrested.
This is not revolution. This is anarchy.
A pain!
Do you speak English?
A little, citoyen. Your pass is not of use here today. You take it home.
I see. And on whose authority do you keep an elected deputy from his work?
On the authority of my gun.
Oh, you! Calme-toi! Calme-toi!
Vous connaissez ce personnage?
C'est Thomas Paine. Mr. Paine, go home, sir. If you value your life at all, lie low until this passes.
Is this your doing, Danton?
I will answer your question, but I beg you not to stand in full public view like this. It is not my doing, sir. But I'm trying to control the outcome.
Do you have access to the convention hall?
I do.
Will you help me get in?
In? Are you mad? Why?
We've had a draft constitution gathering dust on a shelf for half a year. I helped write the damn thing. I move we implement it. Today, if possible.
Payne, listen to me.
No, no. You listen to me. Listen. Without a constitution, there is no law. Without law, there is no revolution. Let this continue, we end up with whoever has the guns making the rules. And in my book, that's tyranny. And I want no part of it, mister.
Ah, and here comes the incorruptible Robespierre, overseeing matters. Oh, may the good Lord save us from those who will save us. Prime Minister and his senior cabinet are now arguing with Arjo and his insurgents. This is a farce. Pain. Keep away from this place. On the page, I give you no argument. But men are flesh and blood, not paper and ink. A revolution cannot be made on rose water. This government is corrupt, incompetent. They hang on and hang on while the country groans. The people are right to throw them out and put us in their stead. You'll see. But from now on, it is we who will have to take the terrible measures so that the people do not take them themselves.
State terror, you mean?
We ride the tigers. And the tiger is hungry. Le traître Brissot! Le traître Guadet!
Mr. Payne! Mr. Payne! It's Will Short.
What's going on, Will?
Forgive me. I needed to be sure you weren't followed before I spoke with you. Will we ride, sir?
What's this?
It's a passport. Belonged to one of our sea captains held up by the British blockade. Died of the fever in Le Havre. I lifted it from the files. Morris has had three meetings about you with members of the Committee for Public Safety. I've seen his notes, and they look to charge you under the law of enemy aliens or the law of suspects. It's not all. Remember writing this to Mr. Jefferson?
Go on.
God knows how many others they've intercepted. They brought that one around last week, wanted Morris to verify the signature. Morris was away. I said I'd look to it. Take the passport. You've much work to accomplish, Mr. Payne. I could not bear to see that great head of yours in a basket.
Look, I'm tired of legging it round the world, Willie. I'm trying to take root. But I thank you, sir. You're a good one. Who's here? Who is it? Carney. That's right, it's me.
Oh.
I saw a lamp. I thought you were... Been reading my new piece, have you?
Robespierre denounced the foreign deputies at the Jacobins this evening.
What? All of them?
And you, by name. I came to warn you. I didn't know where you were. I waited on. I thought they might have taken you in.
I was walking. I called at the Cordeliers to see the great murdered Marta Mara lying in state. Pantomime. Obscene pantomime.
Are you mad? Why? Why do you provoke them so? You act as if you were free to say and do whatever you please.
No, I just act as if I ought to be. I shall need this sending to London. Will you do it for me?
You aim to stay on here, don't you? Why? Do you know yourself?
I used to agree with Mr. Franklin. Where there is liberty, there is my country. But here, now, I feel it differently. Where there is not liberty, there is mine. These people in their senseless terror hurl us headlong into but another tyranny. It's they who are wrong, not me. I'll sit until they shift me. But I'm glad you came, Kearney.
The new book is very fine. Though the title feels a touch ironic just now. Age of Reason. I also read your letters from England, the ones you didn't send. I'd love to have been there when you read them to your horse. Are you hungry?
I'm hungry.
I thought we might have that meal together.
Is the boy cared for?
De Bonville has him. He knows I'm here.
So, we'll drink to what? The future?
The future lies in an alley with its throat cut. We'll drink to tonight.
Nay, lass, that's despair talking.
We leave for Holland the day after tomorrow. De Bonville, Benjamin and me. In Amsterdam, we have friends, a press. We can work there until it's safe to come home. De Bonville and I married this morning. To ease passage across the frontier. There are but these hours, Payne. I will not toast a future that has you in it only as a grave to be tended.
Oh, Carney. Carney. Oh, I will miss you, girl.
Show me. Show me. Dear Payne, I pray against hope that you are spared. Not only that I may see and hold and hear and love you again, but because the world without your awkward, stubborn, tender soul will be a poorer place for us all. I travel as Madame de Bonneville, but as I leave, I remain your very true Kearney.
Prisonnier Payne. Allez-y. Prisonnier Payne, Monsieur le Ministre.
Merci. I have little time, Payne. You'll forgive my bluntness. My minister's advice, if you will take it, is to stay calm and draw as little attention to yourself as possible. Any attempt on your part or my own to bring your case to public notice can only serve to remind the powers that be of the threat you apparently pose them.
You'll leave me to rot, is that it? You'll do nothing? Is this private malice or American policy?
You may rest assured President Washington has been fully informed. And he is quite happy to leave your future in my hands, Mr. Payne.
Guard! Seems a high price to pay for a few misspellings and an inadequate grasp of grammar, mister. Guard! That's the death cart, right? Boncar?
Yes.
Anyone you know?
Danton Fook. Most of them had a role in the attack on the convention hall. Word is, Danton's resigned his post. Grown sick of the carnage, they say.
Right, but late, I'd say.
Allez! Allez!
Venez, vite! Monseigneur Payne.
Eh? Oh, Payne, Payne. Oh, God, they've come for you.
Faisez-vous, salaud!
What do you... What? Wait, you bastard. These are death cages. Haven't done my trial yet.
Silence! Voila.
Danton?
2 minutes.
Oui, oui.
It's my last night on this good earth. Heard you were here. Wanted to spend it with a friend.
Well, that's bad news, boy. I was kind of counting on you winning.
Me too. A revolution ends up eating our own pain, huh? Aye, but to die and go we know not where. To lie in cold obstruction till we rot.
What's that?
Shakespeare.
It's good.
Such a waste.
Aye.
Some things I will miss. Wet earth, sweat on a horse's back, cheesecake at the pork cup, my wife's sweet tender breasts. Oui, un moment, citoyen. We toast something, huh? You say it. Make me laugh.
The future?
The future, why not?
So terminé.
Well, Payne, stay alive. Try to. To the terror, everyone's a carcass. I should know I created it. Outlive them, sir.
I'll see what I can do.
Mon agent.
Oui, oui, voilà. Oh.
I imagine the guard did your bidding out of love. A secret follower.
That's something else I will miss, Payne. Your terrible innocence.
Hush, hush. They ring the bell. What does it mean?
Hush, hush. I don't know.
It is the people. It is the people. Tiger, tiger, burning bright.
Danton!
The revolution ends up eating our own pain, huh?
The tiger is on me.
Robespierre!
The future lies in an alley with its throat cut.
Mr. Payne, sir. I'm James Monroe, the new American minister here. Come, you must sit. I am but recently in post, sir, and did not hear of your detention until 2 days ago.
Do you have the date, sir?
The date? September 15, 1794. I must confess, I'm somewhat hampered by the sparsity of documents left me by my predecessor, Mr. Morris, regarding you, sir.
I bet. Who's in charge out there, do you know?
For the moment, I believe it's the convention runs things. The revolutionary government has been toppled. Robespierre, Danton, all gone. It's still a little early to say what new directions to be taken, though I believe the terror may well be at an end.
Yeah. I don't expect much of you, young man. Your office, like your government, has left me to rot for nigh on a year, so I guess that's policy. If you can see your way to sending this new manuscript, which I've been scribbling here, to Mr. Rickman in London, I'll be obliged.
Age of Reason, Part Second. Mr. Rickman, is it?
It is. Are there still beggars at the gate, sir?
Beggars? I believe there are.
Well, give him this greatcoat. I had it from President Washington, a man I once called friend. Poor days when a coat outlives a friendship.
If I might say one word, sir. I had the honor to meet you once at Valley Forge, and again at Rocky Hill. Thomas Paine will be freed, and soon. You have my word on it.
Forgive me. I didn't know you. Give me a hand, boy.
There's more, sir. Here.
The Age of Reason, Part First.
Just published. English, American, and French editions.
Thank you, Emma. Thank you.
And how are you today, sir?
Well, thank you, Mrs. Monroe.
There are people arrived to see you. Will I send them down?
No. Send them away.
I'll tell them you're not up to it.
Tell them not, ma'am. Just send them away. Carney? Oh, Benjamin!
My God, Payne, you really are indestructible.
Another boy, is it? Here, let me hold him. Wow. What do you call this one, then?
Thomas Paine de Bonneville.
What? Miscount your days again?
No, Payne. This time the days were counted. There's room for us all at the old place if you'll come.
I'll do, son.
Will you come?
Aye. I'm all but done.
July 1802. Dear President Jefferson, it is a good while since you asked me to see this thing through, and though I have had but indifferent success in the matter, after all these years I believe I may be forgiven for wanting to return to my home.
Go now, Carney. I cannot take farewells. Carney, go. It's best.
Within the year!
Since I believe my reputation has sunk somewhat in certain quarters there on account of my books about religion, I will not risk damaging your political standing by seeking a public audience. A private conversation, however, of an hour or two would gratify me much. I am become, Mr. President, like the sight of water to canine madness. And for no other reason than that I have publicly denounced all other churches in claiming my own mind as my one and only church.
Your health, Mr. President.
You will keep writing these damned incendiary works of yours, Tom. Once it was just kings and tyrannies. Now it's churches and priestcraft and religions you set a torch to. Is nothing sacred?
Well, my books make a bonfire of bad ideas and old lies, maybe. They never burned a human being.
You came back alone?
Aye.
Willie Short mentioned you had some sort of...
No.
And funds. Do you have enough to live by?
Well, much as I ever had, I guess. And as much as I need. I have the wee farm holding New York gifted me for services rendered. Oh, a man's real wealth's the people he can call friend. Your invitation to come and see you here put a smile on an old man's face, I tell you, mister.
I did no more than I felt, Tom.
You've been off on your dish without taking risks on my account.
Tom.
Mr. President.
Yes, I know, I know. My grandchildren want their story. My good friend and companion, Sally Hemings, Thomas Paine.
An honor, sir. I read the whole of Common Sense out loud to Mr. Jefferson there. He had a migraine, I believe, back in Virginia, when we was just all setting out. Welcome home, Mr. Paine.
Thank you, ma'am. Glad to meet you.
Tom, I choose the risks I take, all right? And while I'm this side of it, that door is always open. Excuse me for a few minutes, will you? Family matters. Sally here will show you around the place.
Sam and John Adams, Gouverneur Morris, George Washington, Mr. Jefferson, Mr. Franklin. I guess you knew all these folks before they became portraits. My God, I've never noticed. You're not there, are you, Mr. Paine?
Seems not, ma'am. Never stood still long enough, I guess.
This the place, sir?
Carpenter's Hall, he said.
Common Sense as I live and breathe.
Mr. Rittenhouse.
Welcome back to Philadelphia, Mr. Paine. I hear they gave you a bad time up there when you landed.
I've had worse. What's happening?
I'm putting something right inside. You want to join me?
Surely. I'm free. Hold the holly there, will you? Eyes on what they were.
You got any light for Mr. Paine there, boys?
Oh, that's better.
Curtains.
Tim Matlock? Joseph.
Welcome home, Mr. Paine.
I have 300 acres, of which 100 is meadowland. I've 6 chairs and a table, a straw bed, a feather bed, and a bag of straw for the children. I'm also the proud owner of a tea kettle, an iron pot, an iron baking pan, a gridiron, cups, saucers, plates and dishes, knives and forks, 2 candlesticks, and a pair of snuffers. I have a pair of fine oxen and an ox cart, a good horse, a chair, and a one-horse cart. Cow, sow, and 9 pigs. I live upon tea, milk, fruit pies, plain dumplings, and a piece of meat when I can get it. Kearney, why would any sensible person wish to join me here? I absolutely forbid it.
Dearest man, tell me you are the greatest philosopher of the age. I will not argue. But do not tell me what I may or may not do with my life. I will see you in the spring, as promised. So, this is America.
Ah, ain't Paris exactly, though, huh?
It'll do.
You know, there's not enough money to keep me, let alone you people.
What do you mean? You're flat. You sold 2 million books.
I never wrote for money. Never took none hardly. Put it back where it came from. Writing's writing.
Keep yourself. I'll get a job. I'll teach French.
Out here, there's just cows. They don't need it.
I'll go to New York.
Will I go with you?
Tais-toi. Tu es bête. Shh. Let me love you.
You know, maybe there's one more book in me.
What shall you call it? Do you know? The future. Call it the future. There's a part I don't follow in this piece. This is no weather for taking a walk, Payne.
I ain't taking a walk, love. Benjamin's fetching the trap round. Gonna cast my vote.
You'll be soaked. Leave it, man.
A lot of people died making it possible. Makes a right a duty. I'll be an hour.
God damn it, man. You're past 70. At least take your stick.
Can't. Threw it away.
Pain, isn't it?
It is.
I'm afraid you're not qualified to vote here, sir.
I have the farm at Hobbs End. Don't that qualify me?
Afraid not. If you ain't American, it don't.
You saying I ain't American?
Exactly so. And I'm the returning officer.
I may just have to sue the shit out of you, mister.
And I may just have to get the law around here if you insist on using that kind of language on church premises. We do not swear in God's presence in these parts. You've no vote here, sir. That's it.
You know the problem with pisspots like you, mister? You actually believe God is on your side.
What took you so long? You must be soaked. Payne? Oh, God, Payne! Oh, God, don't die! Oh, no!
Is that the doctor?
Hi.
Did he come up?
Briefly.
Did he take my legs with him? Someone did. You speak to the Quakers? Won't have me, eh? The big field will do just as well.
There's a minister come, wants to pray for your soul.
Tell him to bugger off.
Pain.
Call me Tom. Just once. Want to hear it?
Tom. I.
Thomas Paine, age 73, author of Common Sense.
May the body of this man lie in peace in this good earth. And may his name be remembered wherever liberty and justice are cherished. Let my son Thomas there stand for America. I for France.
Amen.
Amen.
I hope you'll forgive the intrusion, ma'am. My son and me heard Mr. Payne passed on. We walked up from New York to pay respects.
You're very welcome, gentlemen. You'll come to the house and take a drink with us?
The present state of civilization is as odious as it is unjust. It is absolutely the opposite of what it should be. And it is necessary that a revolution should be made in it. The contrast of affluence and wretchedness, continually meeting and offending the eye, is like dead and living bodies chained together. The great mass of the poor are become an hereditary race, and it is next to impossible for them to get out of that state of themselves. The condition of millions in every country is now far worse than if they had been born before civilization began. It is a revolution in the state of civilization that is now needed. Already the conviction that representation is the true system of government is spreading itself fast in the world. But there must grow and soon, a system of civilization out of that system of government, so organized that not a man or woman born in the Republic but shall inherit some means of beginning the world, and see before them the certainty of escaping the miseries that, up to now, have always accompanied old age. An army of principle will penetrate where an army of soldiers cannot. It will march on the horizon of the world, and it will conquer.
In These Are the Times, A Life of Thomas Paine by Trevor Griffiths, Jonathan Pryce played Thomas Paine and Ken Cranham played Thomas Jefferson. Romola Garai played Carney, François Guettery, Danton, Robert Glenister, Gouverneur Morris, Will Keane, William Short, Paul Jesson, Edmund Burke, John McAndrew, Lafayette, Jack Shepherd, Rittenhouse and Cleo Rickman, Nicholas Rowe, Monroe and de Bonneville, Hugh Ross, Boncal, Claire Perkins, Sally Hemings, Christopher Obi, the African Father, and Kwaedza Kurea, Thomas. Music by John Tams. The play was directed by Clive Brill, produced by Anne Scott, and was a Greenpoint production in association with Richard Attenborough for BBC Radio 4.